On this week's episode of What the Puck, Ovechkin is named the first star of the week, but the team couldn't beat the Stars in Dallas. Joe Ward gets locked into a bathroom instead of locked out. The Washington Capitals have as many even-strength goals as Nick Backstrom's new baby. All this and more on this episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to the show. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Make sure to tell a friend and tell them they should be listening to What the Puck as well. Joining me, as always, via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know what... Actually, I'm doing good, except for the fact that I feel like hockey's already gone again. We haven't had a game for the Capitals since Saturday, and that Saturday game was pretty unforgettable. So I feel like I've been locked out again, because I'm not seeing a lot of Capitals hockey on my TV. We've got two games to discuss. Let's kick off the show with talking about them. Let's talk a little bit about the Calgary game. They were the Capitals were at home, and luckily they were able to come off with a win against in the home opener. Strange game. The weirdest thing in this game, I got to say, is the goaltending, at least. Braden Holtby doesn't look very sharp, and he actually got pulled from the game. So what do you think's going on with goaltending right now?
I think Holtby's just had a slow start to the season, and unfortunately I missed the Dallas game, but from what I understand, he played better. And so it could have been one of those situations where he just had a slow game. He certainly played incredibly poorly during the Calgary game. It was very disappointing. I was surprised to see him get the start in Dallas. I was really expecting Norvirth to get the next start, but I guess that wasn't the case, and Oates went with Holtby again. I think I'm not concerned at all. I think it's just a slow start. It's not the end of the world. We'll see how he does, on Thursday against Carolina. And I think if Thursday and Saturday he struggles in both of those games, then I think they have something to worry about. But I'm not too concerned with Holtby right now. But if I'm Neuvirth, I'm a little annoyed at the fact that I didn't get to start in Dallas.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Nuvi looked great in that shootout in the Calgary game. I was very impressed with him.
He was fired up.
He was. This guy wants to play.
That was awesome.
No, this guy wants to play. This guy does not want to be a backup, and it is very evident. And I forget who it was on Twitter, but pretty much they were like, and Braden Holtby's getting the start in Dallas. What does a guy have to do to get a start around here? I don't know why Adam Oates chose to do that. My thought process for this is that Braden Holtby had a tough game. It was obvious that he was a little shaken and wasn't able to get the job done. Maybe Oates is trying to put a little bit of confidence in him, and instead of doing the you win, you're in method with goaltenders, he was pretty much like, look, you're our guy. You had a bad night. We're not going to hold it against you. Just do what you got to do and let him start the next game. So maybe that's what Adam Oates was thinking. Maybe that's why Braden Holtby started in Dallas.
I mean, there's a possibility, and I think, you know, to some extent, there's not a mind game, but you sort of, you know, goaltenders are interesting creatures, to say the least, and you don't want to upset them a little bit. But I think with the way Norbert was playing, the fact that he came in, he had that one goal he gave up where he whiffed on the puck behind the net, which was, I mean, it was stupid. That was a bad goal to give up. But other than that, he played very well, and I think he had the start on Saturday. I think to some extent, Oates has shown his hand as to who his number one goaltender is. And going forward, I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Norvirth is traded, not this season, but sometime during the following summer.
Yeah, it's crazy given the fact that these guys are so talented. But Holtby might have a bad game, but it's not as bad of a bounce that Jonathan Quick had for the LA Kings earlier this week. I don't know if you saw that or not, but ooh, what a bad little hit for him. But anyway, let's talk a little bit more about these Caps. Big news, really, everyone's kind of talking about right now is the even strength and the fact that these guys aren't very strong. They're looking very good on the power play, but at even strength, at 5-on-5, these guys are just not delivering.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have as many goals this season as the Caps do at 5-on-5. I mean, it's pretty freaking ugly. I think the players have been saying that some of the problem is that they're too quick to get out of their own zone. Maybe they can't set up quite in the offensive zone. I think they don't take enough shots. To some extent, when they have 5-on-5, they try and get too pretty. They do that to some extent on the power play as well, and I think that was a huge problem with their 5-on-3 in that game against, what was it, Chicago. As for the 5-on-5, I mean, they need to control the puck better. I do think defensively they are just dumping the puck a little quicker and not controlling it and having sort of a controlled breakout and move off the ice and sort of set up a set play kind of a thing. So I'd like to see a little bit better of that. We'll see. It could just be, you know, it's only been three games. It's not the end of the season. But there is some concerns here that they're having trouble at 5-on-5, that they're getting outscored by a ton at 5-on-5 to start the season. So we'll see how it goes against Carolina. To some extent, they played three games against Western Conference teams that they're not as comfortable with, so there could be some bit of a problem there, but I don't really think that's a huge issue. But I wait and see how they do over the next couple of games. Let's give them three or four more games. If they still aren't scoring 5-on-5, then they have a big, big problems on their hands. But I also think some of the problem, the second line hasn't gelled yet. I think Like came out and was talking about this. I believe he was on the radio this morning, I want to say. Actually, I was on with the Junkies, saying that the second line hasn't gelled yet. He was out, all of last season. Grabowski was playing in Toronto last season, and Brower was there, so that was nice. But they haven't played together a lot, and Grabowski didn't come into camp till late, so they didn't really have a lot of time to gel and get that chemistry going. So we'll see what happens there. But it's also, I don't necessarily agree with the lines as they are right now. I don't really know what Oates is doing right now with their lines. And, I think to some extent that could be part of the promise, that they have lines that aren't working because you have a mixed match of different types of players working together that may not necessarily work.
Well, I mean, it looks like this is Adam Oates' his call right now, because day three since this last Dallas game, and he hasn't changed the lines up one bit. Everyone's still in the exact same place that they were before. So I'm interested to see what happens here, because we still have that conundrum of what to do with Martin Erat. What is he doing playing on the third line? And neither does he. We talked about this last week, and this is just a conundrum with Martin Erat. What is this guy doing here? What is the point? Because if you look at it right now, Martin Erat on the third line just kind of playing hockey. We traded away a great young talent, Philip Forsberg. He at least has a goal underneath his belt for this season. Martin Erat does not have that yet.
Yeah. What do they say? What's the saying? Forsberg has as many goals as Erat since the trade at the deadline last year. It's not a great statistic to have. Now, some of that is because Erat got hurt. That's true. But Erat's playing, 8 minutes a night on, I believe it's the fourth line. He's playing with Beagle and Wilson. I mean, it's great for a guy like Beagle and Wilson to have this veteran on their line, a guy who's a goal scorer, but it's not going to help the Capitals in the end. And I don't know why they have a $4.5 million cap it sitting on their fourth line. What I also don't understand is that Brower and Like are both kind of grinder checking type guys, power forwards. They crash the net, and that's how they score a lot of their goals. Why are they on the same line with Grabowski? Grabowski isn't exactly like Ribeiro. Ribeiro was more of a straight-up playmaker where he would pass the puck more than he would shoot. Grabowski is more of a goal scorer and a passer. He's kind of a more well-rounded center to some extent. What I would like to see my lines, I think if you're going to keep Johansson on the first line, even though he hasn't had a great start to the season, okay, fine. You keep him there with Backstrom, Ovechkin. I'd like to see Erat then on the second line. Personally, I'd rather see Erat with Backstrom and Ovechkin on that first line. I think that would be a great first line to have. I put Johansson on the second line on the left wing with Grabowski and Brower. I put Like at the center spot. I mean, Oates said he was a second line center before they signed Grabowski, so why not put him on the third line, put him with Fair on his right and Chimera on the left, and then you can have Wilson, Beagle, and Ward as your fourth line. I like Joel Ward, but he's making too much money, so in the end I'd rather see him moved out, put Wilson over on the right, and you could play Aaron Volpatti on the left, and you sort of dump Ward as a salary cap move. That's personally what I would like to see. But going back to Erat, I would love to see him on a first or second line, because I think that is where he can be effective. And when the team is having trouble scoring at 5-on-5, why aren't you putting one of the guys that's proven during his history to be able to score on one of those lines?
I absolutely agree with you. I'm a little dumbfounded right now. I don't know what to think about these guys. If you're having, especially right now, I mean, maybe it is just because it's three games. I don't understand why you keep the lines exactly the same if these guys aren't scoring a 5-on-5. Why are the lines the exact same? Why aren't they changed up a little bit? Why aren't you moving just like one person around? It makes no sense to me. And you have Jay Beagle coming in, and he doesn't have a lot of experience playing right now because he missed the first two. So he's coming into this season, he might have a little rust on him, even though he's done, training camp and he's done the preseason games. But still, you're playing regular season NHL hockey and you're coming in, these guys have two other games underneath their belt, and you're coming in after sitting in the press box for almost a week. You're going to be rusty. And that's the same that goes for Alexi. He was the same way. I like all these guys and I like our team, but for some reason, they're just not getting the job done. And I agree with you that I think it's due to the fact that these guys got to get moved around a little bit. I would love to see Erat on the same line as Ovechkin, as long as they don't, collide into each other and Erak gets injured. That wouldn't be good, like happened last year. So something's got to happen with these lines. And maybe they're waiting to see what comes up with a team in their own division. Maybe they're looking to see how they do it against somebody in the Metropolitan Division. But as of right now, I just got to say that they need to do something to move around, because even though these games are early, they still got to mean something, and you got to figure this stuff out now, because this season there's 82 games, but you're getting closer and closer to the end, and you're in a tough division now. The Capitals are not going to be able to be in the Southeast with Florida and Tampa Bay and those kind of teams, and just kind of not have to go full throttle. These are going to be very intense teams to go against, and they have a lot to focus on right now. They need these points as much as possible, because you got a lot of competition in this new division.
Yeah, I think you put it perfect that the slow start to the season, if that's going to be what's going to looks like it may be happening, you can't afford that in a tough division, like you were saying, with the Metropolitan Division. Don't even get me started on that stupid name. With the Metropolitan Division, it's going to be tough, and they haven't even played the tough teams really in the East yet. We haven't seen – well, I was going to say Philadelphia, but that might not be the case. We haven't seen Pittsburgh. We haven't seen the Rangers, even though San Jose just embarrassed them. We haven't seen a lot of tough teams yet, besides Chicago. Chicago's a good team. Calgary's probably going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Dallas, and we're not really sure about yet. They might be able to sneak into the playoffs and make be a pretty good team out of the West. They're going to have to figure out what their lines are. Oates, right now, as far as I can tell, is going to be sticking with the lines that the team has had so far. I don't think he's going to make any major changes. Although, as I say that, I look at the fact that they just called up Michael Lotta. I don't know why you'd bring him back up if you're not going to play him. So if he's coming back up and they're going to play him, I wonder who's going to be sitting on the bench. Are they going to take out Jay Beagle? Maybe they'll take out – I know one of our guys from the Baltimore Sports Report, Dave, was tweeting to me, earlier today, saying that he's not a big fan of Jason Chimera. So maybe Chimera could be on his way up into the press box. We don't really know. But, maybe Oates is going to be start making little changes, tinkering with a couple of things. Our buddy Adam Vingan is reporting that Alexander Urban, the Caps defenseman that they picked up from the New Jersey Devils on waivers, was it a week ago? He's actually expected to make his Caps debut tomorrow against Carolina. So maybe we will see some changes coming this summer, because Jack Hillen was just put on long-term injury reserve after his leg exploded or something. And, they're saying he's going to be out for months. So they're going to have to make some changes, obviously. But I still think there are some trouble. There's going to be some troubles with the lines, and they're going to have to make some changes, because right now it's just not working. At least 5-on-5 power plays, where even if Joel Ward's on the power play, which I still don't understand sometimes. It's not working 5-on-5, and I think you need to make some changes, find some chemistry, find some guys that can stick together and score some goals, because it's not working right now.
No, that's the big thing. You got to find the chemistry, but hopefully they can do that before they go up against Carolina. We're recording this Wednesday night. They're going to be up against Carolina tomorrow, so let's see how they do. We're going to have Alex Semin back in D.C. Let's see how he's treated by the fans, but let's talk a little bit more. From what I understand, Lotta was brought up. I don't know if he's going to play, but I believe Lotta was brought up because of Backstrom's girlfriend having having their baby. And because Backstrom was going to miss a practice or two. So congrats to Nick Backstrom. Apparently, I believe it's a little girl, right? He has a daughter now?
Yes, they named her Haley.
Haley Backstrom. Okay.
I guess that, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue, but maybe in time. You never know. Congratulations to Backstrom. That is pretty awesome. But you better get back and play, because, let's look. Okay, so let's say Backstrom's out. You could have Grabowski move up, maybe move up or Matty P. Oh, wait, no, you can't. You could move Beagle up a line. I think Beagle could play on the third line for a spell here and there. I fully expect Backstrom to play. I'd like to see what Lotta brings to the table. He played, one game? I'd like to see him a little more, see what he brings to the team. You can put a guy like Chimera or Ward on the bench for a game or two to see what Lotta's got and sort of go from there. But the thing is, if this is a team that thinks it's going to win the Stanley Cup, you got to figure out what your roster is. You don't have a lot of time to mess around and tinker with your lineup and see what you really like. Quit screwing around. Find out what your roster is going to be. Figure it out. You've had an entire offseason to develop chemistry. So let's get it going.
Yeah, absolutely. And the new guy that they brought in from the Devils, his name's, Unborn? How do you
Urban.
Say it? Urban. Sorry.
Urbom, so I'm guessing Urbom, but for Urbom. All I know, it could completely change.
You see, he sounds like an 80s horror movie. Apparently, he used to be a New Jersey Devil, which, of course, we know Adam Oates has a history with the New Jersey Devil. So I got to think that due to their history that Coach Oates wanted to bring him in personally.
Well, yeah, he does have some familiarity with him from New Jersey. I don't know if it's a lot of familiarity, but he's a defenseman, but he moves, you know, he can move the puck. He skates well. It's something that Oates likes. I think we're going to see him out there. I believe at practice he was taking some shifts with John Carlson, but I wouldn't expect him necessarily to just get thrown onto the second unit right away. You know, maybe we'll see him on the third line with Steve Alexi. That's a possibility. I mean, your boy's probably going to end up playing more now with Hillen out, so we'll see. Or I'm sorry, or Connor Carrick, that's also a possibility. So I don't know exactly what Oates is going to do. We'll have to wait till tomorrow to find out. We'll see what happens in practice tomorrow, morning, and see where they go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. You just brought up Connor Carrick. I don't believe it happened last week when we were talking, but we got to give big congrats to Connor Carrick for getting his first NHL goal, which was a beauty if you saw that goal. And you know he's proud at 19 years old getting his first NHL goal, so congrats to him.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. He took a stupid penalty, and to make up for it, he came out of the box, he got a nice pass, and he went in and had a nice goal where it looked like he almost messed it up, but he actually pulled it off. He was pretty excited. I did like how Johansson immediately grabbed the puck so they could get it to him afterwards. So that was pretty cool for him. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats to Connor. So what else we got going on in Caps world?
Well, I actually had a bunch of notes, but you touched on a bunch of them as we were going along, so well done there.
Thank you. I'm good at touching things.
Let's keep this PG rated, please. Ovechkin was named the NHL's first star for last week. Montreal center Lars Eller and Pittsburgh goalie Marc-Andre Fleury were named the second and third star. So congrats to Ovechkin. And I'm pretty sure everybody's heard about this by now, but Joel Ward had a little trouble down in Dallas. He almost missed the team bus to the morning skate Saturday before their loss to the Dallas Stars when he got stuck in one of the hotel restaurant's bathroom stalls. You can't make this stuff up. Like, this actually happened. And what did the Caps players that he tweeted to and called or texted to come help him? What did they do? They took pictures and put them on the internet.
Of course.
So they actually have evidence of – I'm blanking on who it was. Was it Holpe or Alsner that was, like, carrying him through the top of the stall door?
No, I actually think that was Carlson.
Was it Carl? It was somebody. And it was just one of those things where you're just like, really? You're an adult. Just kick the damn door open. You're getting $30 million a year. You could pay for a new door. Like, how many times in your life do you have the opportunity to, like, John McClane a door? Like, super kick that thing open. You'll be fine. Walk out like a man. But it was bad. Another thing I'm wondering is, like, he couldn't just crawl under it?
Like, yeah, he had to go over. Apparently the door goes all the way down to the floor. I haven't been in many bathroom stalls in public where the door goes all the way down to the floor. Maybe this is a classier place than what I'm used to.
I don't know. I mean, I've been in Dallas once. I was in the airport. Actually, I ended up spending the night in the airport due to some flight problems. But I don't know. It was kind of weird. Like, my initial thought was go under, go into the next stall underneath, and then walk, you know, preferably with no one in there. And then just go out that door. Like, it was kind of a weird situation, but it was pretty funny. And apparently, I was listening to Elliot in the morning, and they had Tom Wilson on today, and he was talking about that when that happened. And he said that he actually was on the bus when it was going on. He found out, but then when Ward finally got on the bus, he got a nice round of applause.
Congratulations, Wardo. You were able to make it out there.
Deservedly so.
Good for him, man. So other stuff I'm seeing on the web, too. Mike Green, he's opening up his store again. He's selling all kinds of 52 memorabilia, and he's got a pretty cool NHL 94-inspired T-shirt, which if you haven't seen it, go check it out. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about picking one of these up.
I definitely would like to get one, and I already sent an email to my girlfriend asking her to get me one for Christmas. So one way or another, I'm getting that shirt. Because I used to play NHL 94, so it's pretty – as soon as I saw it, I was like, that is a great shirt. I am totally going to get one.
Yeah, and it's got Game Over written on the back in, you know, that old school Nintendo font. So very cool design. But he's got other stuff up there, too, like 52 and the Capitals logo kind of writing, which I don't know how he gets away with that. But you can also buy, like, a game used jersey.
Connected to the team.
Yeah, of course. And if you want to get a 52 mug, there's mugs as well. So anything else going on?
That's pretty much it.
Well, there's plenty of stuff going on up north, so let's go up 83 and let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, well, the Hershey Bears, they got a lot going on. They officially started their season. Coach Dan, I'm scared to ask you, because I know what happened, and it seems like the Hershey Bears didn't start off the season the way they would have wanted to.
Well, it's only been one game, but yeah, since we last talked, Hershey lost their home opener in overtime to the Adirondack Phantoms, so they start 0-0-1. They don't play again until Saturday the 12th in Wilkes-Barre against the Pittsburgh Penguins minor league affiliate, so hopefully they can go out, win that game, and get on a winning streak to start the season.
The Baby Pens.
The Baby Pens. They're not actually called the Baby Pens, but I like calling them the Baby Pens because it sounds silly.
They're Baby Pens.
In somewhat Hershey news, the KHL's CSKA Moscow has acquired the rights to Caps prospect and current Hershey Bear defenseman Dmitry Orlov. Now, I know some people were concerned that this might mean he's going back over to Russia. I don't believe that that is the case. In fact, the young defenseman even stated back in September that he isn't thinking about going back to the KHL, that he wants to play in the NHL. This is where he wants to be. And I honestly think if it wasn't for those two concussions he had last season, he'd be on the Caps team right now. I think the Oates and McPhee and the rest of the Caps organization right now is waiting for him to get back to where he was then. And then I think he's going to get called up and be a mainstay on this roster. We could potentially see him and Carlson as a pairing in the – maybe not this season, but in the future. I think that would be a great thing for them. And some other little
– Orlov's got a great hip check. I can't wait to see him.
He is master of the hip check.
Yes, don the red for the entire season. I'm a little surprised that he's not on the Capitals roster right now. I'm a little surprised he is in Hershey. But a lot of people were concerned when they heard that the KHL – the Moscow CSKA team, which is that the actual name of the team?
No, it's a lot of letters.
That's a weird name for a team. Is that Kovalchuk's team?
Now I'm Googling.
I think he plays for SKA. Is that SKA?
Yeah, he plays for St. Petersburg.
Yeah, so they're different teams. But Orlov getting those KHL rights, I don't think he's going anywhere. Like you said, I think he wants to play in the NHL. I'm interested to see, though, if he doesn't get called up to the NHL and he spends another season in the AHL for the majority of the time, will this guy who is 22 get frustrated and want to go back to Russia? Because, again, if you're playing in the KHL and you're in Russia, you're getting a lot of this money tax-free. So if they throw a bunch of dollars at him, would he go back to the KHL and instead of playing in places like Hershey and Wilkes-Barre and Norfolk and all of these minor league towns, will he want to go back home for more money to be in their Premier League? I'm interested to see what will happen. Personally, I think he wants to play in the NHL, but again, if he does get frustrated, you might see him go back to Russia. I don't know.
If I'm not mistaken, he's actually going to be a restricted free agent after this season. So I think if he doesn't make the Caps roster at any point this season, things could get very interesting in the future. We could see him potentially traded in the offseason if the team feels like he's not going to be able to make their roster. He certainly has a lot of competition right now with the Caps bringing in, they have Cameron Schilling and Nate Schmidt. They just brought in Urbom, Thomas Kondratik, Alexi technically to some extent, Connor Carrick, Patrick Way. I mean, the Caps have a lot of defensive prospects. You know, some of those guys aren't quite ready to make the NHL roster. Some of these guys are closer to making the NHL roster. So Orlov's going to have to turn up his game if he wants to come out and make it. I know in his first game of the season, he was a minus one, no goals, no assists, but it's just one game. We'll see how it goes. I think it'll take a couple of weeks before we'll see how he's doing and see if the Caps will decide to call him up if they have another injury. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
In other Hershey news, they actually sent three players down to Reading today. Unfortunately, they sent forward Stan Galeev as well as defenseman Patrick Way. They were both reassigned and forward, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Michael Kahofsky. He was actually loaned to the Washington Capitals ECHL affiliate up there in Reading. Speaking of Reading, they actually haven't started their season yet. They start Saturday on the road against Elmira. That's all of the interesting news. Up 83.
All right, so that's pretty much it for Up 83. Now here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, What the Puckers. Come join me and the rest of the Baltimore Sports Report Network for their first annual cornhole tournament Saturday, November 2nd at 12 p.m. at the Green Turtle in Pasadena, Maryland. It's only $20 per team of two, and the grand prize is two tickets to Ravens Steelers on Thanksgiving. It's going to be a good time. Go to BaltimoreSportsReport.com/tournament to enter, and we will see you November 2nd. All right, let's go around the NHL. There's plenty of NHL news going on. Coach Dan's going to run it down as best as he can. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
As best I can, I make no promises. Philadelphia didn't waste any time with head coach hot seats firing Peter Laviolette after the team lost their first three games of the season. I thought that was pretty quick.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
I was talking with Dave from the Baltimore Sports Report on Twitter about this. He said that he should have been fired after last season. Here's my point. If you didn't have confidence in the guy going into this season and you felt like he was going to be fired a couple of games into the season, then you should have just fired him in the offseason and let someone else bring in their own system and have the entire offseason. I think this is a stupid move by the Flyers to have kept him around to begin with if you weren't comfortable with him in general. But well, you know what?
Think about this. I think I read this in the Baltimore Sports Report article that Dave wrote. At the end of last season, how many head coaches were up for grabs? And you're waiting until now where there's not as many, unless you were really, you know, wanted to go internal through your own organization. But I mean, look, the Rangers let go of their head coach, and you didn't want to, like, try to get him at all, you know? He's a pretty angry guy, Tortorello is. He would probably fit in really well with Philadelphia.
That's true. They would all kill each other. Well, I mean, they did end up going in-house, at least for now, since they ended up going with the assistant coach and former Washington Capitol, Craig Berube. He has been named their head coach for the time being, so we'll see how that goes there. Best of luck to him, except when you're playing the Capitals and pretty much everybody else because I hate the Flyers. Jason Pominville has been signed to a 5-year extension worth a reported total of $28 million with the Minnesota Wild. That's a pretty good amount of money for that guy. And Patrick Waugh, this is probably my favorite story from last week because he's – I mean, we have, like, Breeze Galloff is crazy, but he's, like, kind of – like, his head is just off-centered. Like, he's just a little goofy crazy. Patrick Waugh is legitimate, a crazy psychopath. Like, he's insane person. He was fined $10,000 for – and I'm using your joke when we talked before air – for attempting to throw a wall at Bruce Boudreau of the Anaheim Ducks. Apparently, he was upset after a knee-on-knee hit towards the end of the game, and it became really heated between him and Boudreau. We already knew Patrick Waugh had a bit of a hot streak, and he's a hothead, and he's a little bit of a crazy person. I didn't know it was quite this much that he's a psychopath. I mean, that dude's got issues, but yeah, he was fined $10,000 for being insane.
He almost crushed Bruce. I don't even know what was going on there. He threw a wall at a guy.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, I stabbed a man in the heart.
I saw that. Brick killed a guy.
I wonder at what point in Boudreau's mind did he go, this is bad, I need to get out of here. Like, it was one thing before we've seen Boudreau fired up, yelled at people, but, you know, a lot of guys aren't actually going to physically fight you. Patrick Waugh probably would. Like, he's crazy, and he will probably legitimately fight you. It's not just him. His son is crazy too. I remember I saw a video, I believe on YouTube, where his son was playing in one of the junior leagues and he was going up against some other guy from another team. And the other guy did not want to fight, but Waugh's son was just like, we're going. He started throwing punches at the dude and the guy, you know, he turtled and fell to the ice. The guy was still wailing on him. The whole family is apparently, well, at least him and his son, they're insane. They're all nuts. Stay away. Patrick and the Caps are going to face him, so this should be a lot of fun. Yeah. See what happens. And they're going to have to play each other again, so it should be real awkward. What I would like to see somehow is Colorado and Anaheim end up playing each other in the playoffs, and then just that handshake line at the end when those two shake hands, that's going to be fun to watch, just to see. I mean, with our luck, they'll just be like, okay, and that's it, and they'll shake hands. It'll be the end of it. Like, oh, damn, that wasn't a lot of fun. But, you know, it'd be great if there's just some sort of heated thing going on because it would be really funny because Patrick Waugh's crazy. Larry Brooks of the New York Post has reported that San Jose defenseman Brad Stewart has been suspended 3 games for a headshot to New York Rangers forward Rick Nash. New York Islanders Franz Nielsen has been fined $5,000 for slashing Phoenix forward Martin Hansel. And Florida's Alexander Barkov became one of the youngest players to score a goal in 70 years, scoring last Thursday against Dallas at 18 years and 31 days old. Now, Barkov wasn't the only 18-year-old to score a goal this season, as Calgary's Sean Monahan scored his first NHL goal at 18 years and 357 days old on Friday in Calgary's road win over Columbus. Last little bit of news, San Jose Sharks forward Tomas Hertl became the youngest player since, I believe, 1988 to score 4 goals in a game. I believe in the game against the New York Rangers, they won something like 9-2, which is nice to see as a Washington Capitals fan when the Rangers get beat up on. His fourth goal, though, was a little flashy, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone takes a little run at him at some point in the near future, though I believe the Rangers do not see the Sharks again until March, so we'll see if the Rangers are still upset with him at that point. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
All right, we need to absolutely change the name of Around the NHL because pretty much it's just people getting into trouble. So we need to have, like, call it, you know, go directly to jail or something, like a Monopoly game, because that's all it is. It's just people getting fined or getting in trouble or getting suspended. Yeah, that's what that segment's all about.
Well, in all fairness, I kind of avoid the injury talk because eventually you have to decide, well, who are we going to talk about getting injured? Because sometimes you have sort of like, not minor league, but you have like sort of the minor players getting injured. Then you have major players getting injured. You know, if it's like a big injury kind of thing, we'll bring it up. But usually what I'm looking for is just, you know, guys who are getting fined, guys who are getting suspended because they did something stupid. And then, you know, guys getting signed to contracts, any sort of like nice story like these. The young Bucks scoring their goals at 18. I mean, at 18 years old, because you think of scoring a goal when you were 18 in the National Hockey League, I mean, that's got to be just crazy exciting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's pretty much it for the show. Now I'm going to get you guys ready, let you know when you can watch the Washington Capitals this week up until we record again. So Thursday, October 10th, it's going to be the Capitals at home in the phone booth against the Carolina Hurricanes. Welcome Alex Semin back to the building. That game,
dun, dun, dun.
That game is at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be on Comcast Sportsnet. Saturday, October 12th, the Washington Capitals welcome once again to the phone booth the Colorado Avalanche. And who's coming back? Varley's coming back to town. Let's see if he actually plays the Capitals this time around. He hasn't actually played them, even though he left, you know, last season. They are playing at 7 o'clock again on Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Monday, October 14th, the Capitals welcome the Oilers to town. Welcome to D.C., 7 o'clock also on Comcast Sportsnet. Now, very important, if you guys are avid What the Puck listeners, we normally record on Wednesdays, and then we release the show on that coming Thursday. But because there is a game next Wednesday, we're going to be trying to record a day early. So you can expect a new What the Puck on October 16th next Wednesday morning instead of Thursday the 17th. So just keep that in mind if you're an avid listener. And if you are, make sure you tell people about the show. Let them know. Be social with it. Let people know on Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. Let everybody know that they should be listening to What the Puck because you love the Washington Capitals. Now, there's plenty of ways to listen to the show, so it doesn't matter if you're an Apple, an Android, a Kindle user, or if you just use a PC when you're at work. We are available on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. If you want to talk to us in between shows, you can always reach us on Twitter. Follow me at Brando Cash, and we'll talk puck via Twitter. And Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I'm actually just putting up the finishing touches on a new article about Martin Erett and what's going on with him. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Also, What the Puck is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast and like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/WTP podcast. Two P's in there. So that's pretty much it for the show, except now here's Coach Dan with your Brizgalov forecast.
Brizgalov is crazy.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
On this week's episode of What the Puck, Alex Ovechkin is named the first star of the NHL, but the Capitals can't come on top. Not on top. That's gross. Ew.
It's getting oddly sexual in here.
Joel Ward gets locked into a bathroom star. Today with me, we have Zamboni, the hockey cat. Zamboni, how do you think the Caps are doing so far? Right. Now, they didn't look too great against the Dallas Stars, especially at even strength. Are you concerned about this season at all? I'm going to take that as a no, just because it was a short purr. All right, well, that's it going on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get a visit to Hey. All right.
Hey, going great.
All right, if that's it for Redding and Hershey, we're going to take a quick break. Here's a quick, not too many quicks.
Jonathan Quick?
What is the word I'm looking for? Here's a quick word.
Chocolate milk? Quick? I don't remember what that one's called.
Nesquik.
Nesquik. God, I'm dumb. As Calgary shunned... Let me try that again.
And then Monday, October 14th, the Capitals welcome the Oilers...